Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Let's go now to Michigan. And from the Detroit Free Press, the great Chris Soleri has joined us so often. Well, Chris, never a dull day. How are things going for you?
Never a dull day around here. Never a dull year around here, quite honestly. Doing well. I was able to get back to Butler for my 30-year reunion for the season before the season began, so that was a nice touch. That was
very nice. Very nice.
Other than that, everything that was the pinnacle, and now it's all downward spiral.
Yeah. I know you'd like to write about personalities and games. These aren't the things you want to write about. Michigan State had this in hand July 25th. They claim there was new information. Am I being cynical when I think the new information is somebody got a hold of the report and they had to say something?
You know, I think the new information is that the USA Today story came out, and I think they were not very clear about that. Because then they weren't very clear about the process. The way that those investigations are supposed to work is essentially whoever is the boss of the employee accused of the things that Mel Tucker was accused about, which would be the athletic director, Alan Haller, is supposed to know that there is an ongoing investigation from the OIE office or Title IX office into your employee. And that's supposed to be the only details they know, and I don't believe the interim university president said that Haller did not have a copy of the report in hand for any of those details, and that the details were learned by the powers that be when the USA Today story came out early Sunday morning.
And as somebody, because of what I do here at Penn State between teaching and so forth, I've had to take the Title IX test. So I do understand the process. I just don't understand that when the report is done, like it's July 25th, why it was kept under lock and key from people. Because at some point you have to make a decision, don't you?
Well, but the report is only part of the process. The hearing was the next step in the process, which isn't scheduled until October 5th and 6th, which happened to be Michigan State's bye week, which would have been the first availability for Tucker to more or less go for the hearing. Had it got to that point where he was still not suspended and operating the football program as business as usual. So that's the reason why, while the investigation from the outside third-party attorney from Ann Arbor, who handles Title IX cases, they contracted it out for her to do the investigation. Just because the third-party investigation was complete didn't mean the process was complete, because they still had the hearing, and they still have the hearing scheduled for October 5th and 6th.
Okay. Perception means a lot. What does the perception of this do for Mel Tucker?
I mean, you've read the allegations, right?
Yep.
I mean, in the process here, working in Gannett and USA Today Network, you know, I was let known that there would be a story coming, and the details of it to me were pretty fact of the matter that it was going to get embarrassing personally and professionally for Tucker and for the university, not just the details in it, but knowing the past history of things that have happened at Michigan State, from Nassar to many of the other sexual assault and harassment things that have gone on around here outside of the athletic department. So there's, you know, the embarrassment factor and the professional factor to me are there. I mean, Tucker's response, and I've heard this from a few sources, that more or less it's good. It's just a matter of when. There's going to be a parting away. So it's the when and how. Is it going to be fired with cause and the university tries to get out from under the remaining portion of that 10-year, $95 million deal entirely, which is going to end up being fought over in court? or will they reach some sort of agreement between either now and that hearing or after the hearing is adjudicated? You know, it's an OIE investigation, so, you know, when the university gets those details, they could move then, and or they could negotiate a buyout of or pennies on the dollar for it and work on a non-disclosure agreement so we wouldn't talk about it. So there's a lot of moving parts, I think, still here before the ultimate separation takes place. And, you know, they could also, in that negotiation process, work it out so Tucker resigns.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things beyond simply saying, when are they going to fire Mel Tucker? How long is it going to take? There's still a lot of things to come with that.
Well, look, there's still, if my math is right, about $77 million left on this thing.
Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, right in their range. So there's, quote, a lot for him to fight for, and there's a lot for Michigan State to negotiate for if they decide to go that route. Fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, there's a lot on both parties, you know, from the other ends, too, in terms of, are you going to be able to, how from Michigan State's side, trying to get as much out of it, and also then determining, is it worth firing for him for cause to try and get out from under it, and cheaper to go into a protracted legal battle and try and bleed him in terms of, you know, monetarily a long fight for a coach that thought he had $95 million in his bank and doesn't now.
Harlan Bennett is going to be the interim head coach, but Mark D'Antonio takes a role within the staff. How interested are you in that angle of it?
Very. You know, Harlan Barnett is a guy who was on D'Antonio's staff, served as a co-defensive coordinator, played here in college under George Perlis, and his defensive coordinator here was a guy by the name of Nick Saban, I think a few people have heard of. Then he also played for Nick Saban as his defensive coordinator with the Cleveland Browns in the early 1990s under a guy that some people may have heard of, this Belichick guy.
Yeah.
So he's got a pedigree. This guy's got a pedigree and has been around some of the, arguably two of the best coaches in the NFL and college football history, as well as the coach who has been around Michigan State. The best, many would argue that D'Antonio is the best, you know, with Biggie Munn and Duffy Daugherty at Michigan State history.
Yeah.
And bringing back D'Antonio is really interesting because, one, the way he left in February 4th of 2020, after collecting his bonus and right before the day before signing day and after the coaches' meetings that they have annually where you can usually find new coaches and find assistants and all those things, it left a sour taste in a lot of people's opinions of him at Michigan State. But those have seemed to vanish in the situation that's come now. They took 8 days from the time D'Antonio resigned to when Mel Tucker was hired. And, you know, that was a quick turnaround and obviously a lot of twists and turns with Luke Fickell reportedly having the offer to take the job and his wife declining it, which gave Tucker that opportunity.
Yeah.
So D'Antonio, I think, is going to be interesting what his role is. They said he's going to have a headset on. Harlan yesterday said that a lot of it will be the calming presence of having him around, and I think the conciliary role in a lot of ways where he will bounce ideas off him. I'm curious to see what changes, because he did say that they've talked changes. So do they change schematics to go back to the 4-3 that D'Antonio is familiar with press corners? Maybe. I mean, both of those guys are very familiar with it, but I don't know about the rest of that staff because they've had guys that there's been a lot of changeover since Mark was there. So certainly a lot of things and we're hoping to get D'Antonio before the Washington game on Saturday, maybe on Thursday. But they've got a lot of things they're probably ironing out there, so I don't think that's it's a tumultuous week as to be expected here. We're not getting any players until the game after the game, so there's a whole other side of this that needs to be told. But it's you go from celebrating moving to 2-0 and Mel Tucker after the game saying we ended our celebration in the locker room because we're ready and preparing for Washington to not even 24 hours, Mel Tucker's gone. The kids are left trying to figure out in the process, and Harlan Barnett takes over.
Yeah. In fact, I was at the press conference when Mark officially stepped down because they were playing Penn State basketball that night.
That's right.
So I was at the press. I remember the mood in there, and I remember the look on Mark's face. And the look on Mark's face was, I don't want to do this. I'm doing it. Right, but you could tell just by body language, he didn't want to be there.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, this is, to me, you know, Alan Howell, the athletic director, I asked him about this on Sunday, you know, how this came about with, you know, Harlan and Mark, and he said he called D'Antonio on Sunday, and D'Antonio told him, I quote, Alan, anything I can do to help, I'm here for you. There's no chance to me that that was the first kind of conversation they had about this.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about a 67-year-old guy who's in retirement. I would imagine he'd had to run up by his wife. You're not going to just all of a sudden hang up the phone and say, honey, I'll see you in 12 weeks. I'm going to coach football again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, and one thing that Alan Howell did say is he has contingency plans in mind at all times. You know, and you have to, particularly after the Tucker situation in 21 where LSU came in and made the overtures. I mean, if he leaves, if those were legitimate and he got an offer and left, they had to have a contingency plan for the moment and for long term. So that's what any athletic director will do. And for a guy like D'Antonio to still be in the good graces of the university, I believe at one point he was on a personal services contract. So I don't know if that's still continued. I can't remember the parameters and length of it. But if he's still being paid, certainly there's something there. So, yeah, it's a chaotic and tumultuous time here. But, you know, I think getting to the Washington game it's a big game. It's going to be interesting to see. Michigan State in really gets a little bit of cover for it not being on national TV.
Right.
It's going to just be streamed on a Peacock. So the first time that's happened here, and it's a big game against Washington. So I don't know. It's going to be a fascinating Saturday, that's for sure.
And one final question. I'm going to take you to the Southeast. Michigan became the first team in the history of college football, I believe, to announce that they, or at least let everybody know, it's a four-game suspension. And then the NCAA says no, and then so Michigan then reduced it to three. Is there anything else that you're looking at in this Harbaugh situation other than he's done it three and the NCAA is just letting it happen?
I think that the NCAA will probably look to add more. It'll be interesting because if they do add more and if Michigan feels there'll be more added, what's it going to go? Is it going to expand to six games so we'll get three games this year against non-conference opponents and three games next year against non-conference opponents?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the fairness in that? And how do you adjudicate it? And, again, we talk about guys that might be going back to the NFL. Is Harbaugh even going to be there at this time next year? I mean, that's always a legitimate question. But what's going to be wild? And think about this. Both of those programs this weekend are going to be led by interim coaches.
Yeah. How crazy.
I don't know if that's ever happened.
Nope. How crazy is that? And that's exactly what's going to happen. You know what's really fun? When you and I actually get a chance to talk about games and players.
Yeah, I thought for sure you were reaching out to me to talk about the Richmond game.
And I had a lot of really great Richmond questions.
Yeah. Well, most people do, but I'm telling you, though, the Washington game, I've kind of made this analogy because I had no idea. You know, we spoke before the season. I didn't know what to kind of expect with this team. I kind of projected them to go 6-6. This team right now, I mean, there are no expectations anymore, right?
Right.
So how do you play? I mean, you could come out. Like, what if they end up being like, what if Harlan Barnett is Lou Brown and this Michigan State team becomes the Cleveland Indians in Major League? That's the analogy I keep going back to. Because you got nothing to lose, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no one's expecting anything now.
Would you like to be the head coach, Harlan? No, I've got the lube job coming up and also a tire change at 4 o'clock. So.
Oh, man. But that's what I'm – I mean, you know, this Washington team's good. We all know what Michael Penix is from his time at Indiana.
Yeah.
Michigan State especially. That's the other thing is Michael Penix torched Mark D'Antonio's defense in 2019. He torched Harlan Barnett in 2020 when he was still at Indiana, and sat out the 21 year because he was hurt, and then torched him again last year out at Washington. So it's not like there isn't a compelling football thing going on either this week.
Yeah.
And the wild thing is, here's the funny thing: D'Antonio was supposed to be back this weekend anyways because they're celebrating the 2013 Rose Bowl and Big Ten title team.
Yeah.
10-year anniversary.
Right. And then here's the other side story. And then the other side story is Washington's in the conference next year.
That's right. That's right. Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Well.
It's like never a dull moment, right?
No shortage of material.
Yeah, no kidding. But I do think this isn't going to be one of those things with Mel Tucker that's going to be done in an instant. It's still going to drag out for at least the next month, possibly longer.
Mercy. Okay. Chris, always a pleasure. Maybe next time, just for a couple of laughs, we'll talk about the players in the game.
Yeah, and maybe we'll see each other in Detroit, remember?
Yes.
They're not playing here this year. They're playing the last game in Detroit.
In Detroit. So. In fact, I've already got my flight from Orlando in from basketball to do it on Thanksgiving night. So, yeah, I shall be there.
Well, we're looking forward to that. I'm sure we'll talk before then because
you got
like
it.
It never ends here.
It never ends. Chris, thanks so much, and I hope the 30th reunion in Butler was a good time.
It was a fantastic time. I appreciate that.
Okay. Thanks, my friend.